Got it.
Yes, you do got it, Gary, at Binary Jazz. This is a podcast. We're here every, I was going to say week, but it's not so much every week because it's 2022, which is somehow a resurgence of 2020. It's even worse now. We're still here doing the thing. It's Binary Gary, who's Gary in real life, and it's Jazz Sequence, who's Chris in real life, and it's, I don't know what I'm doing here. Allison Plus, who's Allison in real life, and what is real life anyway? We have this podcast where we talk about stuff because we need an escape from reality.
I was talking to someone about boring years. I was like, remember boring years where there's like nothing happened? Nothing of note happened.
What was the best age for you as a boring year? Like, what age were you for the best boring year? That's the question I'm trying to ask.
It's like pre-homework.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, right. We're going way back. We're going, I mean, like,
the problem with that is that it probably wasn't actually a boring year. It just felt boring to us in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if I think about, like, when I was 9, that would have been 1987.
Hmm.
Right?
I don't know. I
mean, you know best.
Yes.
Were you born in 78?
Yeah.
Okay.
Surely there was something bad happening in 1987, right?
No, of course.
Yeah, but...
Of course.
There was a recession. No
internet to hear about it.
Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Unless you're just stupid and then you're an asshole.
I mean, I think I only...
At this point, I think I'd just like to be an asshole, given the
I
option.
I think I only became aware of non-boring years. It was whatever year Desert Storm was.
Fuck. 89?
Yeah, probably.
When?
It's an 80s baby. I claim innocence Desert in this realm.
Storm. Desert Storm was 90 to 91, August.
I thought it was early 90s, yeah. That was when I became aware of non-boring years.
So, for what it's worth, I want to call out that that was the first of two
also the
invasions
Clinton,
the U.S. Spearheaded that were billed as the first televised war. Yeah,
right.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah, Desert Storm was the first televised war. And then we had the War on Terror, which took place in Iraq and Afghanistan, was also the first televised war, apparently. So, and it turns out that
we love
the Russian invasion of Ukraine was the first TikTok war. And I think the only reason it was the first TikTok war
Because TikTok television exists.
Yeah, I mean, that's it, right? So the first streamed, I don't know. Like,
I will say that...
I'm calling that bullshit, is what I'm saying.
That the two Clinton scandals, the I never inhaled...
That was a scandal?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it sort of was. At the time, it was.
Yeah, and but he didn't wear a mustard suit, so...
And then the I did not have sex with that woman were both prior to Desert Storm. And those were non... I mean, that feels boring at this point. A dude that has sex, extramarital sex, a dude that is the president having extramarital sex and denying it and smoking pot and denying it, that feels boring.
I don't want to be ageist, but how much sex do we think Biden is having?
I hope it's a non-zero amount.
Yeah.
For whose sake?
For my sake.
I'm sorry.
Do not want to be Joe Biden's age and be having a zero amount of sex.
Yeah.
I just look at.
And I hope that is true for
88,
him as well.
Right? Seriously, how old is he, realistically?
87, 88. Yeah, I think that's right.
No, he's not.
No, I don't know. Not. Yeah, he's old.
How old is Joe?
He's Biden. Up there.
79. He's not even 80 yet.
Okay.
Okay. So yeah, I agree with you. If I were 88, though, I think my annual number would probably be pretty damn close to zero.
Nah.
It's a lot of work. You think so?
I would make it a goal. That would be my goal for the year.
You heard him first. A non-zero amount in some 50 years.
Everything in my being would be working towards that goal of not having a zero number at the end of the year.
And maybe I'm just speaking from a place of exhaustion today. I had an exhausting maybe I'm just like.
And maybe when you're 89, you would be in a similar place of exhaustion with just everything. But I feel like
that's what I expect.
I feel like,
especially if we stay in this trajectory. You take Although the time I expect 89 to, if it's to in have, this trajectory.
You should take the time to have joy in your life, even when you are 89 years old.
Yeah, I agree with
it
that.
It also has to do with hormones, right? Because your testosterone lowers as you
I know.
Older. That's
I
why
know.
Like men get weepier. And like
I don't know that I can get a lot weepier.
I know.
But I
will fight it with every fiber of my being.
Gary, it's really valid that you come from a place of exhaustion today.
I wrote
But you know what? Let's acknowledge that some things are constant and that you're wearing a NASA t-shirt.
Yeah.
And there are some things that are just dependable in this world, and I need those things right now.
Yeah.
I guess we should probably talk about the fact that 5 planets were in alignment last week.
Yeah.
That was fucking crazy.
I thought you were about to drop some sort of like 5 planets are hurtling towards Earth. And I was like, seems about right.
That fits. Yeah, that tracks.
Hold on, Rhonda, send me a message. Let me finish this call. We had some friends over on Saturday, which was, you know, supposed to be like a celebration day on Saturday. And it was more just like when they got here, like, shit, are you okay? You know, was kind of the general feeling. But it was good to be like with our people and, you know, and whatever on Saturday. So that part was great. We had like 7 kids running around the house. And
I think sometimes a sense of like, I mean, obviously a sense of community is usually really great, but like also a sense of some normalcy on like your little microcosm level is like, I think that's healthy. It's just kind of like, okay, like regroup, like, I don't know.
Also, one of the kids is like a year older than Charlotte, maybe. And so they get along very well. And I came outside to check on them because we were in a neighborhood where they can just go outside and play in the yard. And like, great, they're fine. So I came outside to check on them. And my cousin called me like, we just saw a bunny. I'm like, no kidding. Like, why would a bunny come around kids that are screaming and yelling? Like, that doesn't seem like bunny behavior. They got those big ears. They can hear stuff. And I'm like, okay. But then yesterday morning, I looked out the window and lo and behold, there's a nice wild bunny that has a den somewhere around here or whatever they have set up. I mean, we've seen them like a lot on property, like far, but like right next to the house was kind of a novelty. And the cats
certainly
noticed.
There's a whole bunch of bunnies by the campsite, by the campground that we camped at a couple weeks ago when we were camping. And we saw them and they didn't seem too terribly spooked by, We got there on Sunday, I think, and then we left on Thursday, and on Wednesday, and I think that was like Memorial. I think the following Monday was Memorial Day, so like on Wednesday, the Boy Scout troop arrived, or at least we assume it was the
I was
Boy
wondering
Scout
how
troop.
Memorial Day played into the rabbits. I was just like, they notoriously do not recognize Memorial Day.
Yeah. On Wednesday, the Boy Scout troop came, and it became infinitely more noisy and boyish at the campground. And the bunnies did not seem to be overly perturbed by the rambunctious male teenagers.
Yes, it comes with the territory. They're like different groups come through and they're just like, look, as long as some of these groups feed us, we're good.
It's worth putting up with the noise because there's so much leftover crap they leave behind. one of the kids is over on the family's came over, his MC, he has Down syndrome. And so he like crowds are not his thing, so he's very not interested in what we're doing. Like, you can go upstairs. The cats are up there. Is it okay with you? And he's like, oh yes. So he got like 2 hours with the cats, which was, you know, highlight of his day. Awesome.
Sounds like, yeah, that's like my kind of party, is like arriving. Where are the animals? Can I just hang out with the animals?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, great. I brought a potato salad. It's over in the corner. Bye. Yep. Doot, doot, doot. I went to this meetup, which is very out of my wheelhouse, if we don't know that by now.
A Vancouver Island meetup, or when you were in the actual city of Vancouver or elsewhere?
Oh, no. Like on Vancouver Island, I went to a death doula meetup. Because I have questions and queries. In sitting in the circle, they were like exchanging information. Everyone was just like, oh, are you on Facebook? Are you on Facebook? And everyone was just like, oh, obviously on Facebook. And we had gone around and I was like, oh, my day job is web developer and blah, blah, blah. And like, but this is something I'm interested in. And it got to me. I was like, oh, I'm not on Facebook. And everyone almost simultaneously was like, oh, so smart. Good for you. Like, that's great. And I was just what? I just was so fascinated by, like, because people use it obviously for business, for keeping in touch with people. I totally get all those things. And there are parts of me that are like, should I be over there? And then there's parts of me that remember why I'm not over there. I just thought it was so funny that they can simultaneously be doing it, but also be like, good for you.
Yeah. One of my weird podcasts that I listen to, the recent topic has been like the concept of creating and like being a creator. And inherently everyone is a creator of some sort. Like, it's just part of being a human. I don't know if I believe that part or not. I think I believe that part. Doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is, like, part of the conversation about like, what are the expectations? Like, what, you know, if you've decided that this is my role, in the world, I create things. And so one of the things that this person observed is that everyone feels like, or has been told, that you have to have like a presence on social. And they're like, why? Like,
yeah,
if you're creating, like, you get to make the rules. And the rules are like, social kind of sucks, I don't want to do it, don't do it. And I'm like, damn, that's brilliant. I don't know how you promote yourself otherwise. Figure it out. You're making the rules.
Yeah.
You don't have a mailing list. You don't want one.
That is sort of the problem. It's the, like, the idea that you build a website and that's like, oh, if I build it, they will come. If I put it out there, then somebody will surely find me. And that is a fallacy that I know that you all know, but a lot of people still don't know that, including the kid's outdoor education instructor still doesn't know that. He spent all this money to get a new website built, and it's a cool website. It's functional. He can list his classes. It takes payment, all that sort of stuff. But he is so bad with internet things and organization, and he doesn't really get the marketing thing. And so, like, he didn't realize for 6 months that the payment system was set to, like, sandbox mode.
Oh, no.
So when we had gone to, like, pay for a class that's coming up this weekend, actually, it wasn't allowing him to take money. And, like, we had originally paid for the class the kids were in last year before, like, he had done a website update and then he did this big overhaul. And we had paid the first time with the first sort of update before the overhaul. So we hadn't even gone through the system, but like he was complaining about how small the classes were this year. And I am assuming that it had been turned in sandbox mode for the entire time. And he just didn't realize because he doesn't know to test his shit. And like, that's a failing on many parts, but mostly it's a failing on the people who do know fucking better.
Yeah.
Like, I feel real bad for him and for having web developers work on his site and not check that shit and not tell him and not.
It's definitely part of a launch failure.
Yeah.
Like, checklist.
Yeah, so Aaron has been essentially QAing stuff for him like voluntarily because, you know, she can, and because he has gotten to the point now where he sort of trusts her. He's encouraging her to get, take a safety class so she can teach classes.
Nice.
And, yeah, so she's been, basically being his little QA department, which he very desperately needs.
Yeah, so, I was gonna say, I was like, sounds like there's a need there, so.
Yeah.
We are like less than an hour away from a storm.
Cool.
Which means.
Can you smell
the
it?
The animals. Yeah. Yep. The petrichor. Well, I guess it's not petrichor yet, is it? Does it have to start raining for that smell?
It doesn't have to start raining, I don't think.
No, I think it's just.
Because it's in the air, it's that smell.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming. And there's a cardinal and there's a butterfly over there. Actually, this cardinal's pissed at me because a squirrel jumped on the bird feeder and has knocked it sideways. So the cardinal tries to land on the bird feeder, but it can't because it's crooked. So I'll fix it in a few minutes. I've already fixed it twice today. I need to find a squirrel-proof something. I don't know.
Do you have Lee Valley?
What's there? That?
Do you have Lee Valley there? It's a store. I don't know. They have something called a squirrel buster bird feeder. I'm sure it's in other stores. It's basically the base of it. When a certain weight is placed, it goes down and shuts the holes to the bird food.
We have that. Smart. So we moved this bird feeder because there was a stump that they were jumping from, which was pretty entertaining, to be fair. Yeah. But now, like, there's no way they can jump from that stump. It's like 10 feet. No, it's like 8 feet away.
They can jump. They can for sure.
I mean, we were going through too much bird food. We found it really lovely. And then we were also like, how much money do we want to be spending on bird food?
This is only one of like seven.
When I started freelance web design, I worked for a stupid company called Heritage Web Solutions, which turned out to be basically money launderer. The owners took all the money and ran. It was awesome. But anyway, one of the first projects that I had gotten, or one of the projects I got through that first professional web design project was, I don't even remember what it was called, but it was some squirrel deterrent system for bird feeders, and it was real dumb. The site was real dumb. And if I'm remembering correctly, so the Heritage Web Solutions, the way that they did selling a website is they sold it by the page, because obviously all the pages are hand-coded. And there were all sorts of dumb upsells. And among the dumb upsells was a custom cursor. So I think I remember designing or finding like some clip art and making a very, very dumb squirrel cursor for the squirrel website.
I was on a website the other day that had a custom cursor, and I was like shocked and appalled.
You're like, what year is it?
There's all sorts of things, like marquees were a feature, and the custom cursor was a thing. This is the early aughts, so I guess it's not that bad, but it's still bad.
It feels not great.
It's pretty GeoCities-y, a lot of the things. Yeah.
I mean, that fits that time period though, right?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't viewed as an unprofessional image. You're like, I got a website.
You're like, look, we've got a website. We're already one step ahead of the game.
With a smiley face cursor. Like, we really believe in making our customers happy. That's the message we're sending.
I had to do more than one custom cursor while I worked for Heritage. It was bad. It was all bad. Everything was bad.
No, it hasn't changed. Everything's still terrible. Yep.
Yeah.
I did learn when I was doing, so this is pre me doing WordPress for like money. I did learn that the projects that would pay me the most were the e-commerce ones, obviously.
Because there's money involved.
Yeah. And the clients are generally better. And the e-commerce comparatively, and the e-commerce platform that they used was Zencart.
I remember Zencart.
Yeah. That's awful. Zencart, don't use it, but you can Google it if you don't know, listeners at home. but it's pretty awful.
Still a thing?
I think. I don't know. It exists in some archive, I'm sure. No, I got pretty good about. I got pretty good about styling Zenkart stuff to make it not look like Zenkart.
You can download Zenkart today if you want to time travel.
Yeah, just don't.
Oh, up to version 1.5.7.
Really? That feels like not a lot of progress.
Yeah, I was like that's
20 years.
I don't feel like we should Monday.
It was released February of 2022. PHP 7.4 is recommended.
You don't feel like we should Monday. It's just a permanent thing. Like
just
Monday
like I don't like feel like
another day of the weekend.
Well, no, I just feel like this week I don't feel like Monday. I feel like I got screwed over on Friday. And I don't want a Monday.
Yeah.
Very Garfield today.
So I learned last week, about mid last week, that the project that I've been working on is going to be, how do I very nicely say deprioritized? I guess deprioritized. Deprioritized is probably the thing. So the thing that we've been building and trying to create a team around and for the last, 6 months or so, is being deprioritized, and all of us are going to be sort of reallocated or reassigned to other sort of projects. But all of this is real up in the air, and there's no definite timeline or anything. So it's all very weird. And oh, by the way, like everyone's leaving. So
there's a lot of unknowns and topsy-turviness.
So my end of last week was very kind of like, oh, that's cool. And my lack of wanting to Monday has a lot to do with the feeling that nothing matters because I'm working on stuff that doesn't matter. It because we're not prioritizing this stuff, but we're still doing it because we haven't figured out something better to do yet. With our time. So that's cool.
That's a weird limbo.
Yeah.
You should totally come work with me.
You heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
I'll put a good word in for you.
Yeah, I was, that's why at the end of last week, I was looking at stuff. I'm not sure how serious, but I don't know where I am anymore. I don't know what I'm doing anymore. And it's a bummer. Even if it's the thing that we're building isn't the most exciting thing. It was a thing, it was a project that I was the lead of, and I won't be the lead of something new. And that's, the whole thing is kind of just, and it's a temporary thing, probably.
I feel like we've been saying that for years. We're like, it's all just, I'm in a transition space.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, the economy turned to shit in the last couple months, and that affected everything, including us, and it,
Yeah.
Oh, I really identify with all of that, and I work for myself, so that doesn't make any sense.
And we're buying a house, probably this week, so, there's that on top of everything.
Well, that old thing?
That old thing.
That process? Oh, yeah. Great. That's not stressful.
Yeah, that actually, we put an offer on that place the Sunday that we left to go camping. So the acceptance and all that stuff all went through while we were camping. And so I was getting phone calls, and we were having conversations with various insurance and financiers and everything.
Yeah.
That was exciting and also very stressful.
Mm-hmm. Well, the house across the street is for sale from us. Come on down, everybody.
What's it listed for?
Also, they don't post photos of the inside, so it's a grab bag.
Oh,
really? Yeah, they didn't even bother?
We saw there was one of those houses that was listed in Salt Lake that came up in our radar, and it literally said in the description, photographs will not be, or photographs of the inside won't be shown until you make an offer. Yeah.
That's so
you have to make an offer on the house before they'll even show you what the inside looks like. Sight unseen.
These people, they actually did write, I should clarify, there's renters in the house, yeah, and they're not taking pictures as a result of that, but they didn't even put a floor plan. I thought it was very like, I was like, the market is good, but it's not that good. Like, you need a few snapshots of something, like, not just your kid on the trampoline outside. Like,
what's the list price on it?
$599.
Okay.
What's the bedroom, bathrooms? Do you know?
I think it's 4 bedrooms, 1 bathroom.
Oh, that's
what, 1.5 maybe.
Tricky.
1.5 is better.
Is the backyard fenced in?
It is.
2.5.
They have an above ground pool. I don't know if that's included or not.
Oh my God.
How could it not be included? I guess they take it with them. I guess they can
maybe. I don't know. I never know with people around here. Sometimes stuff is included and sometimes it's not. So,
yeah.
Chris, there are so many. Well, this is a bad example, but I'm going to use it anyway because it's what I do. Yeah, you found the bird seed on the ground. Go for it, dude. Live it up. There are so many trailers around here. Like, you drive past trailer parks, and many of them have added on like a deck and with a cutout where a above ground pool used to be, but there's like places where like clearly there was an above ground pool and it is no longer there. So I would assume like somebody
pools
moved
are expensive,
or sold
even
it.
Above ground ones, like,
yeah,
a lot of water.
Yeah. Oh, not just that, but like, okay, well now you have to treat your pool so you don't get mosquitoes because you've created like a place for them to breed. Like, chlorine does a pretty good job of killing them. Except for the ones it doesn't kill, and now they like are impervious to chlorine, and now you have more the next season. So it's like whatever. Can you hear the bugs yelling at me?
Uh huh.
They just got a lot louder.
Two of the neighbors, one across the street, directly across the street, and one directly next door to my in-laws, are putting in pools. And it's weird that it's at the same time. And the ones that are next door, they've gotten pretty well into it. They've dug out the trench and everything, and they cut down a whole bunch of trees sort of at the same time. But they said that both of them said that the reason why they haven't started until like the last couple weeks is because of zoning. They had to get the zoning approved and it took a really long time. And the ones next door at least said that their project isn't likely to be done until September. So basically, they will have all of this stuff being built on this pool, and by the time the pool is ready to use, it will be just about the season that it will not be possible to use the pool anymore.
Oh, that's a bummer. Oh.
And the ones across the street, it sounds like they're even moving even slower with the construction because they're doing some other stuff. Unlikely to be able to use it until much, much later, till next year.
When we see my parents, they have a pool in their neighborhood, which is great because they don't have to maintain it. And I'm like, oh, great. You know, we're going to go to the pool. It's going to be like mayhem, kids, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't. It was like 2 or 3 other people. We were there for, you know, an hour or two.
I'm just like, baffled by the idea of outdoor pools in Utah.
It's a location.
Yeah.
Like, that's fair.
For sure.
Like, there's 3 months out of the year. There's 3 months out of the year where, like, yes, pool would be excellent. Outdoor pool, like, right on. But the rest of the year, it's going to be too freaking cold, and you wouldn't want an outdoor pool anyway. And so then it's just sitting there doing what? Like, you're running, like, do you drain it every year, or do you put a cover on it? And like,
you got to cover it, because the problem with draining it is now you don't have the walls reinforced, so you risk damaging the walls. Eventually they fall in. You got to leave the water in there. But I don't know, maybe freezing it damages them too. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at us. We're all pool experts now.
I looked at, there's a pool in, I don't know, like 5 blocks from me, like a private club pool. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what it costs to join. Like maybe that might be a nice like way to exercise in the morning instead of, you know, walking for hours. I said this after getting a blister on my foot. I looked into it and it's like $300 for a family. I'm like, oh, okay, for the year. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool.
Oh,
and
they're open the year. From, I was like, per month. I was like,
no, for the year. And they're open here from Memorial Day to Labor Day. And I'm like, but we have like, that's, those bookends work. Like, that's not enough. for this area.
That's really odd.
I know. And I'm like, what happens the rest of the year? Like, it's actually probably usable, you know, well later here. I mean, I would think probably in the early October. I wonder
if they stick to that or if those are guidelines and then they kind of wibble-wobble them based on...
I mean, looking at the website, they have like a Google Calendar you can look at. It seemed like pretty specific that they are sticking to them. So, and also it didn't open till like noon till 6 p.m. or something slow like that. I'm like, I want to go early in the morning.
Yeah.
Like noon? Like what? So you're paying for access. Like, it just seemed bad.
No, there's got to be a better situation somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll just keep walking.
So we didn't have a topic this week, and that's cool. But we do often will reserve the end of this show for questions.
Because we didn't have a topic, we didn't explain how the show works.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. At the end of the show, we have questions, like, and this. you can submit questions to us on Twitter. We'll probably see it, or binaryjazz.us/contact.
Please, if you don't want to use Twitter, right? Like, we will take questions however you find to provide them to us.
We're reachable. Right. Find me in the grocery store, whatever.
Oh no! Don't find me in the grocery store.
I'll be grumpy because I'm not in the grocery store. But
if you come up to me and you're like, "Hey, I listen to your podcast and I ask you questions," I would be like, "What the fuck is going on?"
I would be so weirdly ecstatic and weirded out at the same time.
I would be scared. I would be frightened.
I do have one. I have one Russian spam that I think that I should read.
Great.
Just because it's funny.
Is it though?
It is. No, it is. It says, this is from Pamela Epimb, all one word. With a doggle.info email address.
Doggle?
Doggle, yes. Not dongle, doggle. And they say, what word, or rather the artificial intelligence going by Pamela Epimb, says, what words, super, a remarkable phrase, for a long time I hear was not, viva Robet Casino, beep casino, some strange characters I don't know, click, 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 crypto casino.
I'm actually more convinced from that email, by that email, than any other you've read, that the sender is AI.
I just really like the beep in there.
Beep. I know.
It's very Roadrunner-ish.
Yeah. All right. We do have an Allison question from a little while ago.
Look at her looking out for us.
Yeah, look at her looking out for us, past Allison. It is, what was the most romantic thing ever done for you? And I do not have a prepared answer for this.
I don't either. I mean, I just heard it, so I guess I couldn't. Be weird if I did.
I was gonna say, if you have a prepared answer, we've had a breach in security.
Oh no, Gary logged into the website.
done for me is hard.
It would be early on when Ron and I were first married. She made cookies for me after a stressful like run at work. Like, I was having to work a lot of hours. I was working retail, so I was working like overtime and all that kind of stuff. And retail is just miserable to start with. And we weren't seeing a lot of each other because she was working like opposite hours. And so it was just like, eh. And I was just in a bad way for a few days. I came home and she made cookies, and it was just this like magical, like, cookies are kind of the key to my heart. So
Yeah, can relate.
Noted for when you're having a bad day.
it just hit, the timing was just so perfect, and it was just like just sat on the couch, and I don't even think we turned the TV on. I think we just sat there and ate cookies like next to each other. Nice. And I'm sure we ate all of them in that one sitting. And
now, what kind of cookie do you remember?
Yep, chocolate chip. Okay. I remember vividly. I can talk about them, and I can actually taste them talking about them.
Yeah. And in true classic fashion, we've circled back to food.
Yeah. I don't know if you can hear, but as I said that, I was like salivating a little trying to keep this.
food is definitely the way to my heart as well. I think the most romantic thing that was ever done for me, I talked last time about It was some other romantic memory or a thing that like triggered
the album. Yeah.
So that same period, Aaron and I had just barely started dating. We had just sort of made a decision to each other that this was going to be important and exclusive and like serious. Like we were sort of committing ourselves to it.
Christian nationalists among us, they had exchanged promise rings.
No, we did not exchange promise rings.
They aren't among us. They aren't among us at this point.
God, I hope not.
We were both coming out of relationships that we had gone to college with. So I had came in to college with a relationship, and we both were attending that college. She had come in with her relationship from high school, and they were also still involved. And both of those exploded in catastrophic fashion, basically simultaneously. Obviously my ex lived in the Bay Area came from the Bay Area. Her ex was going to a commune somewhere in Northern California, and she essentially asked or conned, I'm not sure which exactly, her way into hitching a ride with him to go on this 8-hour trip like along the coast up California to visit me, to have him drop her off on the way so that he like on his way to the commune. So the romantic thing is that she endured an 8-hour car ride with her ex to see me. That's fucking commitment.
That's like I am the prize commitment.
Pretty wild. That is pretty wild. Allison, do you have something?
I did not prepare an answer for this question. I feel like, let's see, there's a bunch of different stuff that comes to mind, but like before we even technically started dating, Robin would make me mix CDs, which for children listening, and to listen to on the flight home, basically, like at Christmas or summer. And I would never listen to them. And then like really thoughtful like notes about the songs and like what the deal was. So that sticks in my mind, because that's just something that like, it's a surprise that I can tolerate, because it's not a surprise, but yet there's an unknown factor. And I love anything that's like created with intention for one specific situation or person. So those sorts of things are always just really loving. Cause it's just like, even if someone insists that it's not made with love, it's, I'm just like, oh, clearly it was.
Yeah. Mixed CDs are my love language.
Yeah. Sure. Like I was just like, and it was music that I was not familiar with. Like it wasn't like songs that I know you'll love. It was like,
Yeah. It's new jazz stuff that I think that you'll love, that like my understanding of you is communicated through the songs that I have chosen for you.
Yeah. And it was like all this jazz and stuff that I'd never like, not on my radar at all. Not in my wheelhouse.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at @binaryjazz. Special thanks to Serpiente Negra Ensemble for the use of their tracks for our intro and outro music. You can find them online at serpientenegra.bandcamp.com. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the forum on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.